Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Dalet, and we were holding at the bottom of daf Gimel Amud Beis, and let me just remind you where we are holding. So we have found that there's a machlokus between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about where we derive the halacha of Prishat Shiva. So the whole first part of the Masechet that we learned in Daf Beis and Daf Gimel was dedicated to figuring out how do we know that Kasher Asa B'Yom Hazeh Tziva Hashem La'asot B'Chaper Alechem is a reference to the learning from Shivas Yemei HaMiluim to the overall halacha of the Knisa of a Kohen Gadol on every Yom HaKippurim. We found many, many similarities between the two issues, including it was the Avodah Rishon B'Mokom, and it was the first Avodah of a Kohen Gadol, and so on and so forth. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, turns out that Rabbi Yochanan actually used the entire Pasuk, L'Asos L'Chaper, for Yom HaKippurim. He did not have the Kabbalah to learn out the Dinim of the Kohen, that he was also supposed to be Mufresh for Shivas Yomim in order to burn the Porah Aduma from the Pasuk, but his Rebbe, he quoted, Rebbe Shmuel, as having learned that. So that was consistent with the approach that we had taken for the first few pages. Then all of a sudden, we discovered at the end of the daf that Reish Lakish said he doesn't believe that it's similar, because since everything in the Miluim is Ma'akev, and we don't find that the din of Prisha is Ma'akev, because the Mishnah says you don't have to be mafresh the other Kohen that is going to be available in the place of the Kohen Gadol, the current Kohen Gadol, to take his place in the event of Tumah. And if Prisha was ma'akev, then that would be the whole point, that Matkinin lo Kohen Acher should have said mafreshin lo Kohen Acher. So therefore he disagrees. Can't be that we learn it out from the Miluim. So Rabbi Yochanan asked him, so where then do you learn it out from? And he said, I learn it out, Gufa, from Har Sinai. Now we noted the very powerful interrelationships over here of the way in which Har Sinai, which of course is Kabbalah Satera, relates directly to Yom HaKippurim, which is itself Kabbalah Satera, in which we find all the Masechet's obsession with avoiding Tumas Keri for the Kohen Gadol is equal to the obsession that we find, Kibayochal obsession, but the sense of obsession that we find of Shloshes Yomim, Altikshu Alisha, and the tremendous Akpada, specifically on Tumas Keri. Okay, so that was added up very powerfully and conceptually in the relationship. But the last thing we learned yesterday was the question of how really can we learn out of Har Sinai, because on Har Sinai it says, Vayishkon kvod Hashem al Har Sinai. Let's just remind ourselves of this. Reish Lakish's drasha was four lines up from the bottom on Amud Beis. Reish Lakish answered Rabbi Yochanan, I learned it out from Har Sinai. Dichti vayishkon kvod Hashem al Har Sinai. Vayachaseu ha'anan sheshet yamim. Vayikrao Moshe bayom ha'shevi. So the question is how to understand this pasuk. There's two very, very different ways of understanding this pasuk. And as we're going to see, Reish Lakish follows the sheet of Rabbi Yossi in understanding this pasuk. And that means, Vayishkon kvod Hashem al Har Sinai, Vayichaseo ha'anan, does not mean, as you would think, Vayichaseo ha'anan, that the Anan covered Har Sinai. It means that the Anan covered Moshe. And then Moshe Rabbeinu and the seventh day was called out. So what does it need to say Sheshet Yamim for? My Sheshet Yamim, since it says Vayikra Moshe Yom HaShvi'i, obviously there were Sheshet Yamim that he was covered. It must mean that Zeh B'nei Av Shekol HaNichlas B'machane Shechina Ta'un Prisha Sheshet Yamim. So this would be the Makar. And of course the immediate problem is, but it doesn't say Sheshet Yamim in our Mishnah, it says Shivat Yamim. V'anan Shivat Nan. Answers the Gemara, the Mishnah is really going according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Betero, we're going to be talking about, and he says that we're worried about finding the Kohen all of a sudden being Tameh as a Boel Nida, because if he was at home and he slept with his wife, if his wife turns out to have been a Nida, then he would be Tameh for Shivas Yomim, the same din as a Nida herself, and so because of that, we have to get him out of his house. Now, the obvious question is that if we're going according to that shita, then we don't need the similarity to our Sinai at all. I mean, we're not learning anything out of our Sinai. We're learning this din that there is something of a halacha of Prisha. So, there's different obvious ways of understanding what it means according to Reish Lakish. A, that Rabbi Yehuda would never have been gozer, such a ridiculous thing, on the wild off chance that his wife would turn out to be a nida, so we're going to be mafreshim for 7 days? That's crazy. So the if already we have a limud from Har Sinai that there is a din of prisha, and that din of prisha would have been a din of sheshes yamim. Fine, so then Rabbi Yehuda would say, okay, so if that's the case, let's already be mafreshim for 7 days. That's one approach. Another approach is, even though there may be a din of prisha, it doesn't mean we have to take him into the Beis HaMikdash for 7 days. All it should say is mafreshim mi beiso. But this idea of bringing him into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Lishkas Parhedrin, where would he get that from? And that's what we were learning out from Sinai. Then once there's going to be a Prisha, the Prisha will be done in a Mokum Kadosh, just like the Vayachaseo HaAnan was basically surrounding him with the Kedusha of the Anan. So it's the same idea. Again, remember that the Anan and the Mishkan are the same, because that Anan that was on Har Sinai becomes the Anan Hashem in the Mishkan, which becomes translated into the Anan HaKtores, remember, on Yom HaKippurim. This is heavy duty interrelationships between Har Sinai and the Prisha of the Kohen Gadol. It's not just a loose kind of thing. So this is what we understood. There are two very, very different visions. One of Rabbi Yochanan that sees the fundamental connection to being every Yom Kippur a reconstruction of the Miluim, and one of Reish Lakish, who sees that every Yom Kippur is a fundamental reconstruction of Har Sinai itself. Of course, Rabbi Yochanan is Moda that ultimately the Mishkan and the Miluim for the Mishkan was a reconstruction, as the Ramban points out, of Har Sinai. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. So let's get into the details of the Machlok. So Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish, look, it makes much more sense according to me. Because Bishlamidi did the Yafina Mimi Luim, Haina Titania Zevazema Zinolov Korshiva Mikochata Ocha Yusham, the Havinami Hazabi Miluim. According to me, I can explain some other halacha over here, which seems to come from nowhere. I mean, there's this halacha that says that every one of these 7 days, we sprinkle the Kohen Gadol with the Mechata Ot. Remember that the Pora Aduma, every Pora Aduma, a little bit of its ash is saved. And we would use that ash of every single one of them to be mazer on the Kohen Gadol. That seems to come from nowhere. Now, according to me, it doesn't come from nowhere. According to me, it comes from the Miluim. Because in the Miluim, we find that the mitzvahs of what it was that needed to be done for Aaron was that Moshe Rabbeinu brought these karbonos and he sprinkled Aaron with the dam of the karbonos. So there was this concept of Hazoya during the Miluim. But according to you, Reish Lakish, where was there a concept of Hazoya on Har Sinai? Ela didakti alafta mi Sinai, Hazaa b'Sinai mi Havoi? Now that's a very strange question, because there certainly was Hazoya on Har Sinai. As this points out, it's a Beferish HaPasuk. It says, Vayikach Moshet Chatzi Adam, and Vayizala Am. I mean, so Vamari Neitam HaBris, and so on. So that was very much part of the whole ceremony of Knesset Bris on Har Sinai. But as Tosis explains, look, first of all, there was not Hazah every single day. Over here by the Miluim, there was Hazah every single day. That's number one. And number two, even if you would say it was Hazah every single day, it says Beferish, the purpose of this Hazah had nothing to do with the concept of being tar. The purpose of the Hazah on Har Sinai was as an indication of the Knesset Bris. So this was the Dam HaBris, the same idea that we have of Dam HaBris of Mila. That Dam plays a very important role in the idea of Knesa LaBris, a commitment. And I mean, even kids in school have to mix their blood, you know, if they're going to be making a deal and so on, and making their new team or whatever. So that there's a very strong concept of, you know, blood goes a long way. It's thicker than water. So anyway, so according to me, therefore, I have a basis for a further indication that really the Makar is the Makar of the Miluim. But it breaks down for you, because that's one thing that really does not follow Sinai. And Reish Lakish said to him, okay, I mean, and it really follows you so well. I mean, come on, be honest. I mean, in Miluim, we were sprinkling blood. And over here, we're sprinkling the mechatas. It's not really the same, is it? So what are you making such a big deal about it for? So, minecha b'miluim dam ochamayim. So that says, Rabbi Yochanan, no, you're wrong about that. Holokasha. Because consider what actually happened over there. The first 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu was sprinkling this dam. By the eighth day, as the which was the actual tchila of the avoda for the kohanim, there was no longer a sprinkling of dam, but there was a sprinkling of this new idea called the Pora Aduma, which had been given then as that mitzvah when they brought the first Pora Aduma, which means that basically where there was no Pora Aduma yet in existence, and the concept wasn't there, then the dam that was being sprinkled on Aaron Uvanav was meant as the equivalent of the Mayim of the Mepara. That's the idea. And that Tahira that would come to them was coming from the Zrikas Hadam on them. And that's the only point. And in fact, when we have that type of concept, like by Tzaraz, we have the same idea that on the eighth day we will actually sprinkle them and we're going to put some of the Dam of the Asham of the Mitzer, we're going to put on him. So obviously there is a relationship of Dam to Tahira, right? So once the Pora Aduma was there, we substituted the water for that Dam. But that means that that Dam is actually an expression of the Mepara, if you think about it. So it's still highly consistent with the Limut from the Miluim, according to me. That's the whole point, says Rabbi Yochanan. But according to you, there's no similarity whatsoever. I mean, the Zrikas Adam for Dam HaBris has nothing to do with being Zorik every single day from the Mepara on the Kohen. So why in the world would we do that? Omar Leis, so Resh Lakish said to him, look, I mean, when I asked you the question, I asked you, where would you get the idea? Gemara asked the son of Rabbi Yochanan, where would you get the idea that the Kohen HaSerivus HaPora is supposed to have also Prisha Shiva if you refuse to learn it out of the pasuk that Rabbi Yishmael learned it out from, which is the La'asot and the Lechaper, huh? And the Tziva. You told me it was just a Mala Bepora. Fine, so I throw back the same thing in your face. You're asking me this particular halacha, where does it derive from? This halacha does not come from Har Sinai, in Har Chinami. And the din of making sure that the Kohen is super duper extra Torah by sprinkling on him on it with every single Pora Aduma, obviously that's a Malabi Alma that we want to give over the sense of the heightened sensitivity to Tuma Vatira. And so we utilize the Pora Aduma to do that. What's so bad about that? So according to me, fine, it's a Malabi Alma. Now the truth is Tanika Vasita Rabbi Yochanan and Tanika Vasita Rish Lakish. We do have Mikorot that seem to back up both of these approaches, that the approach of Rabbi Yochanan from the Miluim is correct, and the approach of Reish Lakish from the Knis of Moshe Rabbeinu into the Anan in advance of his going up to Har Sinai to be Makabel the Luchos is correct. Tanya Kavase, the Rabbi Yochanan, Bizot Yavo Aaron El HaKodesh. Now, what does Bizot Yavo mean? What is the Zot? What is the Zot referring to? Now, I know what you're going to say. The Bezot is referring to the next person. I mean, the continuation, right? Bepar ben Bakar lechatat v'ayala ola, right? Okay, the Gemara is going to say, I mean, yeah, isn't that? What do you mean? What does Bezot mean? Bezot means with the following. Okay, but the Gemara right now, this Brisa, understands that there's a reason for me not to limit Bezot to that. So therefore, the Bezot is actually referring to something else. And what it's referring to is, Bezot actually means the things that we were just talking about. And what were those things? Those were the issues of Masha Amur Be'inyan. Mahi, what do you mean? Be'inyan, what inyan? The inyan of the Miluim. Because did it not introduce the Bezot Yavo Aaron with the words Acharei Mot Shnei B'nei Aaron? Yeah, so what does that have to do with anything? Why telling me Acharei Mot Shnei B'nei Aaron? Now you're told Bezot Yavo Aaron al HaKodesh. So obviously the Bezot is a reference back to the events that created the whole idea of Acharei Mot Shnei B'nei Aaron. In other words, we're supposed to see this as a direct continuation of Shmini V'Miluim. And therefore, what it's saying is that just like we had Ma'amur B'nyan D'Miluim, so what was that Shmini B'Miluim? Well, Aaron was Pirei Shiva v'Shimesh Yom Echad. Now note that according to this new drasha that we never saw before, Bezot means that we're not learning it out from the Shiva b'Miluim as much as we're focusing on Yom HaKippurim being an actual recreation of Yom Shmini b'Miluim. And that's why it's referring back to the Acharei Mot Shnei B'nei Aaron. So just like what we find on Yom Shmini b'Miluim, was the fact that Aaron had just finished a din of prisha for Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, and then he was mishamesh on that special Yom Echad. And during the entire 7 days leading up to that Yom Echad, Moshe, as we see in the Psukim, gave him over all of the halachas of the Torah, and Masar lo kol shiva, all of the dinim of Aveda, kidelech hanecho ba'avodah, that was part of the chinuch for him. So too, Bezot tells me, va'af ledorot, kohen gadol is pored shivas yomim, and is mishamish yom echad, remember the name of our mesechet, yoma, the idea of yom echad being achas b'shona. It's a very, very special concept of Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh. That's that Yom Echad. And the Shnei Tamidei Chachamim Mitamidav Shel Moshe, they would give over the Kohen Gadol, was given to Tamidei Chachamim to take the place of Moshe, because these are Talmidim of Moshe, and we say that very advisedly. Look how makbid we are on Yom HaKippurim to get the tzedukim out of the way. And we do this, we go out of our way to wipe out the tzedukim. Now note that that is so much part of the Porah. That's amazing. It's exactly the same stress. So when it comes to the Porah Aduma, the entire structure of the Ilchus Porah Aduma is based on this idea, lafuke tzedukim. That since the tzedukim were gurish, that b'mu'urevei shemesh, it cannot be done, and we held that it can be done b'mu'urevei shemesh. That explains the entire milas that we make on Parah. It explains why we're mafrishin the Kohen Gadol specifically to the Lishkas Beis HaEvan. So that, not, I don't mean the Kohen Gadol, I mean the Kohen Etzes HaParah to the Lishkas Beis HaEvan. All because of the tzedukim. The same thing is true on Yom HaKippurim. The central problem that we had on Yom Kippurim was the fact that the tzedukim would purchase the Kohen Gadol, and as we're going to see, that's why we called Lishkat Parhedrin Lishkat Parhedrin, because Parhedrin, the Gemara ultimately says, means bureaucrats. It's a real put-down. And just like bureaucrats are constantly replaced, any new guy that's given over the job, he puts new people, his own people, usually his family and other nepotism, but he puts his own people in the place. So in order to be mezalzel in that attitude, that the tzedukim could take over the Kohen Gadol and could apply their understanding of how the keteres is supposed to be brought, which is that kiba anan erayala kaporis means that you have to have the anan present before you go into the Kodesh HaKadosh, which is a total violation of the entire concept of the Keteres and the meaning of the Aveda. So too, we are very makbit throughout, and that's why we're saying over here, as opposed to tzedukim, make sure that the Kohen Gadol has no exposure to tzedukim. We're going to see later on, we make him swear, and he starts to cry because we were chashed him of being a tzedukim, and so on and so forth. So those two Talmidei Chachamim utilize the Shivas Yimei Prisha, Meisrim Lo Kol Shiva, and they go over all of the dinim of the Aveda, Kidei Lechanecho Ba'avodah, the same idea. And this was the Makor Mikan Amru in our Mishnah, Shivas Yomim Kedem Yom HaKippur Mafrishit Kohen Gadol Mibeito Lishkat Parhedrin. Now, continues the Braisa, Uch Shem Shemafrishin Kohen Gadol for Yom HaKippurim, Kach Mafrishin Kohen HaSorefet HaParah Lilishkat Shalpnei HaBira Tzafon HaMizracha. Now, this does not say that I learned it out of the same Pasuk, because the Braisa is learning it from Bezot Yavo Aaron, which has nothing to do with the Porah Aduma, correct? So this means that we understand that this halacha that I just brought you and its relationship to the concept of ultimate kapora on the primal nature of sin and death and so on, that we went ahead from our own das and we applied to the Kohen HaSorev as HaPorah, and over there we're also very makpid because it's Tzedukim, and we go to the Lishka Shal Pnei HaBira Tzafon HaMizracha in order for us to achieve the same ends. But the Braita here is not claiming that it learns it from the Pasuk. That's important. Why? Because we just brought this Braita as a Tanya Kavasid Rabbi Yochanan. And remember, Rabbi Yochanan Shita, we saw yesterday, was that, in fact, we do not learn out the Kohen that is Sorev HaSapora from the same Pasuk in the Miluim. It was his Rebbe, Rabbi Shmuel, that learned it out, but he himself didn't. So this Braita is perfectly okay according to Rabbi Yochanan, and it seems to back him up. That's what Satani gave us to Rabbi Yochanan. Echad zeh ve'echad zeh. And both of these, the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen HaServ is Apora, we are mazin alev alav kol shiva mikol chata'ot shayusham. And here the Braita indeed confirms what Rabbi Yochanan said before. The Im Tomar, and if you're going to say, well, I mean, where would we get that from? After all, the Miluim doesn't provide a model for that, because the Miluim was talking about sprinkling Dam, and over here was sprinkling Mayim. That's not a problem, because Amrite, think about it. It's clear that on Shmini B'Miluim, the moment that we had the Por Aduma, Nichnesu Mayim Tachad Dam, which means that this was one concept of Zrika for Tahira. And that's the idea. So that's the Hazoya. And, now this is weird, after we learn out the whole thing from B'Zot Yavo, all of a sudden we throw in as an afterthought, and by the way, remember, it also does say at the end of the Miluim, Ka'asher asaba yom hazeh tziva Hashem la'asot l'chaper alechem. Now these words, la'asot elu ma'aseh para, is a mistake, as Tosis points out yesterday, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, then this Braita would be saying the opposite of him. We're bringing the Braita as a riot to Rabbi Yochanan. But Rabbi Yochanan did not hold that la sot elo maaseh para. So Tosha suggests yesterday that these words just crept in because of the way that we had had it originally in the limud from Rabbi Yishmael, but it certainly is not part of the Braita. Take out the words la sot elo maaseh para and put in only la sot lechaper elo maaseh yom hakipurim. So this is very strange, because we started off learning all of this from B'Zot, and now all of a sudden we're learning it from here. We're going to ask that in a moment, but first, let's ask how in the world we can learn anything out of B'Zot Yavo Aharon and claim that it means B'Zot B'Masha Amur B'Inyan, namely the idea of the Miluim, where obviously any idiot who reads the Pasuk sees B'Zot with the following, B'par ben bakar l'chatat v'ayel ola. That's the meaning of B'Zot. How can you so pervert the meaning of a Pasuk to say that B'Zot, Baruch Avram, how can we so pervert the meaning of the Pasuk to say that B'Zot means with Masha Amur B'Inyan HaMiluim? It's crazy. So v'hai B'Zot b'boi le b'legufe. B'par ben bakar l'chatat v'ayel la'ola. Says the Gemara, no, it can't mean that, because if it was only a reference to what is coming, Ila Korban l'chudei, why doesn't it say b'zeyavo Aaron? I mean, both references are to males, correct? And therefore it should have used a Lashon Zachar. The par ben bakar, the ayalola, or let it say be'ele, with the following two korbanos. But what's this b'zot? I mean, b'zot, what feminine concept is included in the B'Zot? Ah, that has to be a reference to Parisha, and Parisha is indeed feminine. So we use the feminine case, and we talk about B'Zot. Beautiful. So because of the Lashon of B'Zot, we are able to learn both things, B'Zot in what follows, and B'Zot in what I just mentioned, which is B'Inyan HaMiluim. But if that's the case, why does the Braita suddenly change tracks at the end? And it says, and furthermore, it also says, what do you mean, furthermore, it also says? What do I need that for? Why do I need the la'asot l'chaper? Because, v'chi teimi yom ha'kipurim kama hu d'boi prisha, because if you only had this idea, you would have thought that, okay, if it's a complete limud from the miluim, so is it not true that the Miluim was a one-time event which required a chinuch of a Kohen to be able to do that avodah after these 7 days? It was never done again in history. So maybe the same idea would be B'Zot. Now that Aharon is about to go for the first time into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that is the equivalent of the Miluim where a Kohen was about to go for the first time into the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, it's a one-time event. So just like the Ashkam B'Miluim, it's only the Yom HaKippurim Kama, the very first Yom Kippur, that would require this Prisha. But how would we be able to learn out that this is a general din in every Yom Kippur, every single year? Avo B'Yom HaKippurim Da'ama Lo. Or I might also have seen it a different way. I would have seen, okay, maybe it's a special halacha in the first Kohen Gadol in history, because that was the case of the Miluim. So the Kohen Gadol Kama, yes, there you would need Prisha the same way we have the Kohen Gadol of the Miluim was the first Kohen Gadol in history. Avo Kohen Gadol, a normal Kohen Gadol be Amma, no? Therefore, I need to have this additional limud, Toshma, Kasher, Asav, Yom HaZeh, Tziva Hashem La'asot, and the Tziva Hashem La'asot would be for all coming Dorot. That was the Tani Kavase de Rabbi Yochanan. But as we began, we also have a Tani Kavase de Reish Lakish. And the Braita of that backs Reish Lakish, actually only partially backs Reish Lakish, according to Rabbi Yossi. It turns out it's a machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Akiva. How do we understand the pasuk that describes the nature of Kabbalah's HaTorah on Har Sinai? So what we have over there is the pasuk that says that Vayishkon Kvod Hashem al Har Sinai Vayechaseu Ha'anan Sheshet Yamim Vayikra al Moshe Bayom HaShvi'i. What does that pasuk mean? I mean, the basic question is Vayechaseu. Who is who? Is the Vayechaseu Ha'anan means the ununcovered Har Sinai Sheshes Yamim? Or is the Vayechaseu L'Moshe Sheshes Yamim? Now that revolves around the question of when in the world did this happen? Is this basically a description of what Har Sinai looked like from the arrival at Har Sinai? We arrive at Har Sinai on Rosh Chodesh, and then we have 6 days of an Anan that covers the Har. It can't mean 6 days it covered Moshe, because the Pasuk describes Moshe going up and down and bringing back messages from Hashem, and Hashem tells it goes down, and then it says Vayaleo. So we learned down in Masechet Shabbat, remember, that all of the Aliyahs, he went away right up in the morning, would go up, and at night he would come down, talk to Bnei Yisrael. He was very, very busy. So to say Vayechaseo Anan would mean Moshe, assuming that the timing over here is from the beginning of Rosh Chodesh, is ridiculous. You can't mean that, because the Pasuk would immediately tell you that that's a mistake, because it finds Moshe in different places all the time. So basically, there's two fundamentally different ways of understanding this Pasuk. And as it turns out, those two fundamentally different ways are also based on the dating. When was the Torah given? Now, remember back from Shabbos, we had a machlokas. Was the Torah given on the sixth day of Sivan? Was the Torah given on the seventh day of Sivan? How do we understand the Shloshet Yimei Hagbalah? Did Moshe Rabbeinu add an extra day, which put things off, and so on and so forth? Remember that whole circuit. So if you hold that the Torah was given on the seventh day, then the way that we read the Pasuk would be very simple. Okay, so Vayishkon Kvod Hashem al Har Sinai on Rosh Chodesh, and covered Har Sinai for 6 whole days. And then on the 7th day, Vayikra al Moshe, Hashem calls Moshe Rabbeinu to come up to Har Sinai to get the Aseres HaDvorim, not the Luchos. And then the next day, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up, and he is on the Har for 40 days, or after getting the Luchos, he goes up, he's on the Har for 40 days, and comes back down. I mean, that would be a very simple way to understand it. And that's going to also be nogea other questions of dating, as we're going to see, because we know that the Luchos were broken on Shivasar B'Tammuz. That's a given. So we're going to need to make all of this work out with the given dates that we have. We know that we got to Har Sinai. It says Beferish in the Pasuk, which we'll learn out, we'll go over again, that that was on Rosh Chodesh. And we know that the Luchos were broken on Shivasar B'Tammuz. And now we have to work out what the meaning of this Pasuk is in that context. If you hold that the Torah was given on the 6th day of Sivan, then this Pasuk cannot possibly be understood that way. Because how could Vayikra Moshe Bayom HaShvi'i, after his being Sheshes Yomim covered by the Har, how could that be to call him to get the Aseres HaDvorim if the Aseres HaDvorim were set on the 6th day of Sivan, the day before? So this couldn't possibly be the Vayikra Moshe B'Yom HaShvi'i to get the Aseres HaDvorim. Therefore, the alternative is that this is a completely different story. It starts after the Kabbalah HaTorah. So basically, Vayechaseihu means Moshe Rabbeinu comes up there, and the Har, the Vayechaseu, this is talking about Moshe. The Har has already been utilized for the giving over of the Aseres HaDvorim. Moshe Rabbeinu was covered by the Anan And at that point, as we're going to see in the end, that's what we understand, that was the beginning of the 40 days. And then he remains covered after the Aseres HaDvarim are given, are said. He remains covered for 6 days. Vayechaseo means Moshe was covered. On the seventh day following the giving of the Torah. So this is now 7 days later. Then the Shekhinah calls Moshe Rabbeinu, now come up to get the rest of to get the Luchais, to get the rest of the Torah, and that describes the Arba'im Yom on Har Sinai. And because it has to work out with Shivasar B'Tammuz, we're going to understand in the end that the Sheshes Yomim count towards those 40 days, because he was up on the mountain, and even though he wasn't being Isaac during that time in the Luchos and so on, but it's still part of the Arba'im Yom, because of the Hachonah for the Arba'im Yom. So that is the way that we're going to end up at the when we go through this whole sugya. I'm just showing you the overall structure of this, and therefore it would work out, according to Rabbi Yossi, that the Sheshes Yomim indeed were a Prisha of Moshe, for those 6 days, and that's the mocker of the concept of Prisha, and then we extend it for the seventh day, strangely enough, the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu added an extra day midaita to the Prisha on Har Sinai from Nashim, we add one extra day for the Prisha of the Kohen Gadol from his wife, basically the same idea of avoiding Tumah. I mean, the whole thing is so wild, there's so many weird interconnections, but okay, so this would be the picture, according to Rabbi Yossi, which would be the basis of Reish Lakish, who would be saying that we have a mocker for Prisha on Har Sinai of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so now let us look at it inside. So the Braisa begins like this. Moshe alaba anan, v'nitkaseba anan, v'nitkadeshba anan. Kidei lekabel Torah liYisrael b'kedusha. This is based on Vayishkon kvod Hashem al Har Sinai vayechaseo ha'anan sheshet yamim. This is not meant as an introduction to Kabbalah Satorah. This Maisa took place after the giving of the Aseret HaDibrot. Now, they were at the beginning of the 40 days. Shayu techilal arba'im yom. First, we thought this means that they came before the 40 days. In the end, we're going to understand that ayu techila means they're included in the 40 days. But this was the beginning of the 40 days after the giving of the Aseres HaDvarim, which was words. So then Moshe went up to Har Sinai to get the actual Luchos HaBris and to be taught Kol HaTorah Kula. This is the pshat according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. But Rabbi Akiva says, no, Vayishkon Kvod Hashem is a before the Aseres HaDvarim were mentioned. Vayishkon Kvod Hashem starts on Rosh Chodesh. That's the parshas of the pasuk. And then since the Torah was given on the seventh day of Sivan, it makes perfectly good sense. Vayikra el Moshe, on the seventh day of the month, we'll see that that's what it's referring to. So when it says Vayechaseo ha'anan, it obviously doesn't mean Moshe. Moshe was running up and down during that whole period. So Vayechaseo ha'anan means Kipshuto. It covered, the cloud covered the mountain. And then Vayikra el Moshe was in order to receive not the Luchais, but in order to be Mekabel, the words of Hashem and the Aseres HaDvarim. So you'll ask me, so why does it say Vayikra el Moshe? I mean, after all, wasn't all of Klal Yisrael there, and weren't they all called to come to Har Sinai? Yes, indeedy. Moshe v'cho Yisrael omdim. But nonetheless, lo ba katuv ela lachalok kavod l'Moshe. So it's as if we are only calling Moshe, even though Lamaisa, everybody is there. But remember that everyone is only overhearing Bedabrimach. So it's really Moshe Rabbeinu who is offered this Kriya. And it's Moshe Rabbeinu who is the one that is going to be hearing the Diburim of Hashem, as the Rambam clarifies in the Mor Nevuchim. And because of that, even though everybody is there, we want to make it very clear, Hashem is calling Moshe. And this is how the Rambam in Mishneh Torah describes Kabbalah Satorah, that we all hear the Shekhinah saying, Moshe, Moshe. That's the Vayikra El Moshe, exactly, from this pasuk. So Moshe is there, we all hear it, but it's all about Moshe. That's the point. And therefore, we can learn out, Aliba de Rabbi Yossi, we can learn out that there was a Vayechaseo, which is the mocker of the halacha of the Kohen Gadol requiring Prisha. Rabbi Nassan says, now wait a minute over here. I agree with Rabbi Yossi, but I do not agree that the idea is this magical Prisha concept. It's not Prisha. There was something unique on Har Sinai that is not translatable into Yom HaKippurim. And that is that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to be the equivalent of a Malach HaShores who hadn't eaten, he hadn't had anything to drink, to eat, for 40 days in the end. So this was the beginning of those 40 days. It took 6 days to make sure that there was nothing left in his digestive tract of anything that he had eaten and anything that he had had to drink. This was the world's ultimate colonoscopy. I mean, believe me, 6 days is really tough. So basically, we want to turn him into a non-human. He's a malach. Now, that obviously did not apply to Yom Kippur. There was no issue whatsoever of starving out the Kohen Gadol. So therefore, although I agree with Rabbi Yossi, I do not agree that it has any application to Reish Lakish's Limud. It's unique to Kabbalah Satera. Rabbi Matia ben Charash omer lo ba katuv elala ayem ala. The point over here was to put the fear of the Lord into Moshe Rabbeinu. He's going to be sitting over there shaking for the 6 days, not knowing what's going on around him, surrounding by this cloud. The Torah has to be given in fear and trembling and sweating. What does that mean? It means in the place of the greatest simcha of the Kabbalah Satera. That is the place where you should recognize how little you are entitled, and you should be accompanied by the greatest joy is accompanied by the greatest terror of how in the world could this be me? And therefore, the two go together. The simcha, gila, is always with ra'ada. And this is achieved gufa over here, and of course, you will understand why that's true, because we are going into the situation, which is the tikkun for Gan Eden and for the death on Gan Eden. And this was the end of death as it was meant to be. And Gilu Bira'ada is exactly what didn't happen to Adam Arishon, who was Veloyit Boshashu. Gilu Bira'ada is the absolute tikkun of Veloyit Boshashu. The more you have, the greater is it clear to you that you don't have. Okay. So now, let's take a look at what it all boils down to, because what we need to understand is what is the central point that is forcing Rabbi Yossi to conclude clearly that this has got to be what it means, even though it sure doesn't sound like that when you read the Parsha, and what allows Rabbi Akiva to read it Kipshutai? Well, the machlokas that we had back in the second Shabbat, the Tanya, b'shisha b'chodesh nitna Torah liYisrael, Rabbi Yossi Omer B'Shiv Abo. Basically, the question was how to analyze the psukim that we had back in Masechet Shabbat of when Rosh Chodesh was in that year. And that would define, because we know that the Torah was given on Shabbat, and that would define whether it was the sixth of the month or the seventh of the month. Based on that, everything follows. Because Mandi Omer B'Shish, if you hold like the Tanakhama, so then everything works out fine, because then it would mean that the pasuk can be read kipshuta. Then it would be like Rabbi Yossi, because then b'shisha nitna, on the sixth day we heard the aseres hadvarim. The next day Moshe Rabbeinu goes up. Now this attempt to fix the girsa is horrific, because vayikra Moshe b'yom hashvi, if we're going to be goritz that, it'll be going against Rabbi Yossi. So forget about that. So just b'shisha nitna. The next day, which happens to be the Shiva, he was Allah, but that too is a problem, as we're going to see. So there's a problem here with the Girsa, which we'll talk about. Mandi Amar B'Shiva, if you hold like Rabbi Yossi, you got big problems. Because it means if on the seventh of the month it was B'Shiva Nitna, so on that same day, B'Shiva Allah, not the Pasuk that says Vayikra Moshe B'Yom HaShvi, please. That is exactly what it isn't. And that is 7 days later, after this day. So it means the Torah was given on the seventh day. On that same day, Moshe Rabbeinu was Ola. Now note that that means that according to both Pirushim, we get the same number of days. Because according to the Tanakhama, the Torah was given on the sixth day, but Moshe Rabbeinu did not go up on the sixth day to Har Sinai, he went up on that next day. If you hold that it was B'Shiva Nitna, then he went up on the same day. So it ends up being on the same day that he went up. Either that day was the day after the hearing of the Lucha of the Aseres HaDvarim, or it was the same day as the hearing of the Aseres HaDvarim. Fine. But that means that the number of days between the Aliyah and the Yerida are the same, so that when we come to figure out Shivasur B'Tammuz, we're not going to have to analyze it differently according to the two Shitas over here, you see. So now, how does this relate to the Machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosi HaGlili? So Rabbi Yosi HaGlili holds like the Tanakama, who says that B'Shisha B'Chodesh Nitna Torah, and therefore there is no possible way to read this Pasuk, because the Pasuk cannot mean, and therefore Hashem called to Moshe on the seventh day to get the Aseres HaDibros, because they already were given on the day before, on the sixth day. So how could it be on the seventh day? So obviously this is a reference to six other days followed by a seventh day. So it's got to mean what I say. And therefore, we read the Pasuk like this. Vayishkon kvod Hashem al har Sinai vayachaseo ha'anan sheshidamim means covered Moshe Rabbeinu for the 6 days after Kabbalah HaTorah. Then Vayikra Moshe Beyom HaShvi was a new kriya to be Mekabel the Luchos HaBris and to learn Kol HaTorah Kula the Shar Torah. And because how else could I read it? If you want to read it like Rabbi Akiva, it immediately collapses. Because if you're going to learn Vayishkon Kvod Hashem means starting on Rosh Chodesh, and then the Vayechaseu Ha'anan means we cover Har Sinai Lahar, and then Vayikra El Moshe Bayom HaShvi means Moshe Rabbeinu was called on the seventh day of Sivan, the Kabbalah Aseres HaDibros. How could it be Mekabel Aseres HaDibros on the seventh if the Dibros were already given on the sixth? That's crazy. A Kabbalah L'Mishisha. So why was he being called? Therefore, this has got to be another story. And the Onan, according to this, had already gone away, because it says after Hashem spoke, so then B'mshoch HaYovel, the Onan goes away, you know, so none of this makes sense. What do you mean Moshe goes into the Onan? What Onan? There is no Onan. It went away already the day before. So obviously, there's a completely new story of a new Aliyah all the way up to the mountain, and that's a different Aliyah, different 6 days, different 7 days, and so on. Whereas Rabbi Akiva, he holds like Rabbi Yose, who says that B'Shiva B'Chodesh Nitna Torah LiYisrael, and not to confuse Rabbi Yose Glili, obviously. So he holds that the Torah was given on the seventh, so everything works in perfectly. We come to Midbar Sinai, we're standing in front of Har Sinai on Rosh Chodesh, Vayechaseo Ha'anan, the mountain is covered for six days. On the seventh day of the month, Moshe Rabbeinu, together with all of Yisrael, is called, but we only mention Moshe Rabbeinu because of his covenant, etc., etc. Okay, now, Bishlam, according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that Moshe Rabbeinu only went up to Har Sinai on Shiva B'Sivan, that makes sense, because then we could say that on Shiva Asur B'Tammuz Nishtabru Haluchot, okay? Because look, I mean, add it up. We've got the last 24 days of Sivan, right? Starting from the 7th to the 30th. And then we've got 16 more days of Tammuz. That's 40 full days that Moshe Rabbeinu was up there on the mountain. He comes down on the next day and breaks the luchas. So B'Shiv Sarba Tammuz, Nachid Va'ata Tavrino Leluchot. But according to Rabbi Yosi HaGlili, because right now the Gemara understood that the meaning of those 6 days and the seventh day is a precursor to the 40 days on Har Sinai, that the 6 days were not included in the 40 days. So then we have to put off the whole thing by another 6 days, because he says there was Shisha Deprisha, and then there was another 40 days of the Har. So then that means that it was only on the 23rd day of Tammuz that Nishtabru Haluchot, not the 17th day of Tammuz. We need to add 3 days there. So 6 days there. Ad Esri Mitlat B'Tammuz Loid Bar Luchot. Amar lach Rabbi Yosi HaGlili. Rabbi Yosi HaGlili explains the way we already understood it. When it says Tchilala Arba'im Yom, it doesn't mean prior to, it means the first of the 40 days. So Arba'im Dahar are part of, and they include the Shisha Yomim of Prisha. Now, when you say Vayikra El Moshe, that Moshe V'chol Yisrael Omdim, and that it was only said El Moshe because of the covenant of Moshe, this is a riot to Rabbi Eliezer. The Omer Rabbi Eliezer, I mean, Vayikra El Moshe, actually means Moshe V'Choy Yisrael Omdim, Lo Ba HaKatuv Ela Lachalok Lo Kavod Lo Moshe. But wait, Rabbi Eliezer, It says in the pasuk, "Vayishma et hakol midaber elav." Now, obviously, this call that it's referring to over here is the pasuk of Moshe Rabbeinu coming in, "Ubevo Moshe el ohel moed daber ito." Vayishma et hakol midaber elav me'ala kaporet ashal aron eidut biben shnei akruvim vayidaber elav. Now, we're being medayik over here. What is the meaning of the shmia of a kol midaber elav? Why does it not say kol lo, that it was towards him? So when it says elav, it's making it very specific. It's putting in the verb over here directly with the pronoun together. Elav means it was directed only to him. And that means Moshe shama, only Moshe heard that voice, and kol Yisrael lo shama. So then if that's the case, then it would mean nobody heard the call on Har Sinai. I thought the whole point was that everybody heard the call on Har Sinai. And still, what's your question? Just because we're reconstructing Har Sinai in the Mishkan doesn't mean that the Shmias HaKol of Moshe is the equivalent of the Shmias HaKol of Kol Yisrael and so on. So that was on Har Sinai we're talking about. And over here, we're talking about the Ohel Moed. Or I can tell you, look, you know what? There's two completely different things. I mean, the Vayishma Tako Midaber Elav, this is brilliant because this is the whole point that the Rambam makes. Vayishma Tako Midaber Elav means the only one who heard the Dibur was Moshe. Everybody else only heard the Kriya. That's the difference. Vayikra Moshe, Moshe v'chol Yisrael omdim, but they couldn't make out any words. They only heard the Kriya. And they therefore, that, as the Rambam explains in the Mara, that was the equivalent of hearing the Anochi Hashem Elokecha directly from the Shekhinah. Fine. Now, Rabbi Zreika was pointing out contradictions in Psukim to Rabbi Elazar. Some say that Rabbi Zreika said it was Rabbi Elazar himself who pointed out these contradictions. And what are the contradictions? On the one hand, it says, "V'lo yochol Moshe lavo el ohel moed, ki shachan alav ha'anan." So that would mean that the presence of the Anan Hashchina prevents Moshe from walking forwards, right? Because he couldn't come in because the Anan was there. But back at Har Sinai, it says, "V'yavo Moshe b'toch ha'anan." So apparently the Anan does not represent in any way a problem for Moshe. So how do we understand that? So that teaches us that on Har Sinai, Melame shetfaso HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe veHevi'o b'Anan. Moshe indeed was incapable of entering into the Anan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu must have grabbed Moshe and dragged him into the Anan, which means that, in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give Moshe something that he himself is not shayach to, achieving on his own, but was actually a complete gift to Moshe, as if he dragged him into the Anan and made him shayach to the Anan. Devei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Nema kan betoch. Here's another way we could understand it. It says over here, betoch Anan. And it says, by the Kriyas Yamsuf, it says, Vayavo b'nei Yisrael betoch ha-yam. How did b'nei Yisrael come into the Yam? Did they go into the water itself? No, they were in a shvil. V'amayim lehem choma, miminam u'mismolam. So, but that was called betoch hayam. They were surrounded by water. Same thing is true over here. So afkan shvil, Moshe Rabbeinu was surrounded by Anan, but he wasn't actually bumping into the Anan. He was betoch Anan. Brilliant. So that's beautiful. Vayikra el Moshe. Then it says, there was a kriya. Why is there a kriya first? Why not just say what you have to say?
Lama higdi. Time to drink.
I thought it was lamareka chila v'shtia. I'm so confused. So why was there a hagdama of kriya to dibur? Limda Torah derech eretz. Do not say something. Don't just walk over and start talking. There has to be a relationship that provides for the talking. So first be Korea. This is a riot to Rabbi Hanina, the Omer Rabbi Hanina. Lo yomar adam davar lechavero, ela imken korehu. Don't just start talking to someone. And then when it says, leimor, what is the meaning of leimor? Omer Rabbi Nasir, barbere the Rabbi Nasir, mishmei the Rabbi Nasir, rabba. It means to teach us that minayin lo omer davar lechavero shuhu bebal yomar. Ach yomar lo leich emor. This comes to teach us, the way Rashi understands it, is that leimor means lav emor, lo emor, do not talk. So this means that the Chofetz Chaim actually brings this in Hilchos Lashon Hara, that just because somebody told something to you, if he didn't say to you, go tell somebody about this, then you are not allowed to say it. And it would be a din of rechilas if you do say it. So this is the mocker of that halacha, that Moshe Rabbeinu himself would not have been allowed to say over the Torah if HaKadosh Baruch Hu hadn't told him, Leichem or Lehem. But otherwise, it's begetter, this is private between me and you. Okay, but now what's interesting is that it appears that both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish agree to the main point. And this is going to be the topic of our conversation tomorrow when we begin. Because when Reish Lakish said to Rabbi Yochanan, so according to you, why don't we say that just like by the Miluim, kol ha-ma'akev, kol ha-katuv behem ma'akev behem, so too by Prisha, if you don't do Prisha, it should be ma'akev. And yet we see in the mission that it's not ma'akev because we're not mafrish, the Kohen, the other Kohen, the Sgan, we're not mafrish him, we just select him. So apparently Prisha is not an ikuva. Rabbi Yochanan should have said at that point, what the heck are you talking about? I don't believe that kol ha-katuv behem ma'akev behem by the Miluim. But he doesn't. He accepts the argument of Reish Lakish, and he says to Reish Lakish, okay, so what's your alternative? And Reish Lakish brings his alternative, Mihar Sinai. But that seems to imply that Rabbi Yochanan fundamentally agrees that this is a good question, because it really is true that Kol HaKatuv Behem is Ma'akev Behem when it comes to the Miluim. Now, Tosfos understands the entire sugya as being a getter of an esmachta, not an actual limud. And therefore, this is not problematic for Rabbi Yochanan. We're going to see there's other reasons that Tosfos suggests that that must be the case. Particularly the interrelationship of the tuma, that mitamim, we were mitamim, the coin that is oisus apara. So the question is, you know what, I'll talk to you about it tomorrow because we're I'll talk to you about it tomorrow. We're going to need to go over it anyway. So, but bichlal tarvayos filo miluim kol hakosu b'ma'akev behem, that is the question. How do we know that? And what is the difference, whether kol, what things would not be ma'akev mitzad hasfara if we wouldn't have had this? Okay, gentlemen, I'm sorry. It is quite a big daf, so I say in my defense for finishing without time for the Mishnah, that it was an awful lot of stuff. But anyway, this has gotten us really deep, powerfully into the elements of Har Sinai, the Mishkan, the Kohen Gadol, the Miluim, the death of Nadav Avihu, concepts of primal chet, issues of entitlements in Har Sinai, both in Har Sinai and in Gan Eden, Tikkun of Misa, based on this, unbelievable ideas, a wonderful, wonderful way to introduce Masechet Yoma. Somebody is calling, based apparently on the Gemara that we just had, Al Yomar Davar Elin Ken Koreu. But who is calling? That's the question. Vayachaseo Ha'anan. Maybe it was just a pocket dial. Don't know.
I just wanted to...
Amazing. Would you imagine that it could possibly be Mr. Just himself? Okay. What did we just want now? Good morning.
To point out that it's amazing that it seems almost tangential, but we get into the Kabbalah's Torah as Har Sinai and Yom Chajun HaTorah and Simchat Livov, it's so beautiful.
It's amazing. It's like all of the issues, smack bang at the beginning. Wow, it's just so wonderful. It's so incredible that people learn the Masechet and have none of this joy. They miss it completely. It's all just, limudim and diyukim and psukim. It's unbelievable.